daily life, the existence of life. So we want to conduct ourselves in such a way that we do not let these things of life entangle us. And we are a Christian soldier. The great lesson here taught is that the warfare of the Christian soldier requires the same concentration of purpose as that of an earthly warrior if we're going to win the battle against Satan. And what that requires of us is that we make ourselves available for service. Whenever you are enlisted in the army of God, you have to make yourself available to his service. I heard a story one time about a person that was serving in the Civil War. And there were times when there was between battles, and this person had been a watchmaker, and whenever it came time for a battle, he'd have to go battle. But in the time in between, people heard he was a watch repairer, and everybody started bringing their watch to him. And he was over there taking care of everybody's watches, and they called for battle, and he said, "I can't come. I got to fix these watches." Well, he lost sight of what was most important to him. He was a soldier. And it's no accident that we try to draft, as it used to be, the young men to serve. They're not distracted by a wife and two kids at home. They're right out of high school, and they made good soldiers that could be trained and prepared to do battle without these distractions that consume him and take him away from the ordinary affairs, away to the ordinary affairs of life. And so as he talks about that, he reminds us of the dangers that these ordinary affairs of life have to the soul. In the parable of the sower goes forth and scatters his seed. Some of it falls on the wayside, some of it in the stony ground, and some of it in the thorns. And as he explained this parable to his disciples, he talked to them about the dangers that were there of each of them. The wayside hearer is the one that isn't really very interested, and the seed comes and falls on him, but he doesn't take it into heart and obey it. And the birds of the air came and eat the seed so that it cannot grow and produce a fruit. The stony ground hearer, on the other hand, picks up the word of God and ready to obey it, but it's got an underlaying of a stone. It's not like little rocks in the ground, but it's like 2 inches of soil on top of a bedrock of stone. It comes up, but then the roots can't get through that stone, and whenever the heat comes, it withers and dies. But that is described as the thorny ground hearer, it obeys the gospel, and then look what happens. They hear the word, and then the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Look at those things that he lists up there, Jesus talking. Which ones of those are sinful? It's not like he's involved in fornication. It's not like he's getting drunk. It doesn't say he's robbing a bank. But he's just letting the ordinary affairs of his life so consume his life that he's not bearing any fruit to God. And so what we come to in this is our need to manage our affairs that not happen. Clearly, a good soldier of Christ Jesus, enabled by the Spirit, must continually choose to focus on eternal priorities, not temporal peripherals, holding the temporal loosely and prizing the eternal passionately. As F.B. Meyer says, "The less encumbered we are, the more easily shall we be able to execute the least command of our great captain. Let worldly minds the world pursue," John Newton wrote. "It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free." We need to hold on to the affairs of life loosely. My purpose for being on this earth is to so live that when I die, I receive an entrance into the heavenly home that God has provided for his children. And whatever it is in my life that gets in the way of that pursuit, I need to get rid of it. It may be something sinful. It may be something legitimate. But if it interferes with me going to heaven, what he's saying to me, if I want to be useful to the master, I've got to lay that aside and commit myself to the service of the Lord. And so we began to look at what managing the life involves. It means that there are things in a person's life, everything that is there takes a chunk of your time. We only have so much time. Every one of us has the same amount, in the sense of it's 24 hours a day, and you don't get 26 and I get 22. All of us get the same amount of time. And the question is, how are we going to manage this time that we have? A businessman that is promoted might find his life changed by the promotion. And it would be that now he's got to be on the road a lot. Or it may be that he has to work 12 hours a day instead of 8 hours a day. And all this job has now consumed a portion of his time. And sometimes to get that promotion, you're not nearly as useful to the master as you could be. Because now you've given so much more of your life to your employee. Because you want to be making this kind of a salary instead of where you are presently. And no soldier on service entangles himself